Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 201 for November 10th of 2023.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Coach Sonny Dykes.
Happy birthday. Happy
birthday. How about
that?
It is. Yeah. On tonight's podcast, we've got Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here as always. You know, help you out. My man is struggling a little bit, but guess what?
I am struggling.
Hey, listen. Gamers show up to play. Let's just hope that happens this weekend.
I sure hope it does happen this weekend.
So is this his flu game?
Man, check him out.
This is his flu game.
Yeah, so you may have heard my voice doesn't quite sound its normal resonance. Unfortunately, I lost it on Tuesday. I've been battling a bit of a sinus infection and lost it completely on Tuesday, which, of course, came to a joy to all of my students. But you know, I'm here. You know, it'll be fine.
But he went in and got a shot.
Not a shot, but I am heavily medicated, and I probably drank way too much tea for a single human being. But outside of that, let's also introduce our other host for tonight, Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
You know, I'm not sick, so I'm doing good.
Boy, the digs just keep on coming, don't they? Well, let's go ahead and kick off the podcast this week, and we want to welcome Barry Lewis from the Fan Nation. Barry, let's talk some basketball.
Okay. So basketball season started this week. Both the men and women are off to great starts. The women have played two games. Their first game was Monday night against Oral Roberts. It was a 20-point lead, or 76-56 game for them. And then last night, they did even better with a 38-point win over Texas A&M Kingsville. And what's showing up here as already the big star is the guard transfer from Arizona, Madison Connor. She got 30 points on Monday night and matched it with 22 last night.
Wow. That's awesome. I know we have been looking forward to seeing what the transfers are going to do on this particular team, and it looks like they're going to produce very well.
I was in the Schulmeyer this afternoon, and AD JD was talking to Coach Campbell, and I heard him say, it's a good vibe out there. Keep it going. So
I like that. Good vibe indeed. And what about the men? They were in, again, sorry, folks, my voice is gone. But if I sound like a 13-year-old boy, that's just the way it's going to be tonight. How about the men? They played Southern, didn't they?
They played Southern on Monday night. It was a 108-75, pretty dominating win, other than the fact that it was a slow start, and turnovers were quite heavy at the beginning of the game, but they got that under control and got it figured out. They did give up 10 3-points to Southern, so that's a little thing to be concerned about looking down the road.
Yeah, that was a bit surprising.
Yeah. But if you go back to the opening game last year, when it was a Mike Miles tip-in at the buzzer to beat Arkansas Pine Bluff by 1 point, we'll take the 108-75 to get things started. So, and other good news is yesterday was National Letter of Intent Day, and the Frogs signed the 11th best class in the nation.
Yeah, that is amazing. It's really good to kind of see where Frog basketball has actually gotten to at this point over the last several seasons, and they continue to build on success.
Right.
And so this tonight's game, you're about to head out because I know you can't stay, and we got to get you out of here because there's a game tonight. So preview that game for us.
So it's against Omaha. What we saw on Monday was Dixon was putting a lot of different lineups out there. He played 10 different guys, just trying to rotate things to see what the best things are.
In that case, is that really just you're trying to get guys playing time, or is he really just trying to
figure out the chemistry of the team? No, I think he was really trying to tweak it. You could tell it throughout the different game. It was a whole bunch of different lineups that was just trying to see what was the best combo and what worked. So I'm sure we're going to see more of that tonight. So
yeah, that'll be good. Yeah. So, tip-off is at 7 o'clock, so we're going to be very interested to see how that game actually goes for the Frogs. Well, Barry, really appreciate that. Actually, there is one other thing.
Sure.
We have a national championship
contender
coming up.
That's right. It is the first year of having a women's triathlon team. And in their first year, they will be competing in the national championships this weekend. So
that is
good stuff.
Awesome. We wish them amazing luck for that. Go Frogs. And, it's interesting to see whenever a new sport kind of comes on, just to kind of see how well it kind of takes off.
Right.
We saw that in beach volleyball, for instance, and now we're seeing it here as well. And I'm really impressed by this. But tell us real quick, what can we expect for the rest of this week for Fan Nation?
So we've got basketball covered. We've got the men's, women's. We've got our team focused on that. We got the article that came out today that talks about the four guys that signed yesterday with National Letter of Intent. So you can go and read about that. We've got obviously a lot covered with the Texas football game coming up. So we'll have a lot of coverage with that. We have a great article that was published today or yesterday about a summary of the soccer season, about what we've learned from that and what we need to do to move forward. So it was a good wrap up there. So we're just trying to cover everything that's out there.
Yeah, hopefully they can kind of bounce back next season on that. But what about, we have a new podcast too, don't we?
We do. We have the Frog Fever Men's Basketball Podcast coming out once a week. Davis Wilson and Nick Giramonte are two of our writers are going to be doing that. They're going to be bringing in other guests throughout the season. They'll be talking about TCU basketball, Big 12 basketball, basketball across the country. So it should be fun to listen to.
Yeah, and that first episode, I think, dropped just yesterday. So if you want to, go ahead and jump on any of your major podcasting platforms. Of course, you know, Apple, Google Play, Amazon, as well as Spotify. And you can go ahead and find that podcast. Well, Barry, thank you very much. Really appreciate that overview. And, go Frogs for tonight in men's basketball.
Thank you, Barry.
Well, tonight's special guest, Frog fans have come to really enjoy what this person puts out on a week-to-week basis. And we come to look forward to his take on the games every week. And of course, if you follow any of the major channels on YouTube, you'll be very familiar with our guest this week, Clint Foster. Clint, come on up here, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, y'all, thanks for having me.
Welcome, my friend.
How you feeling?
Fantastic. I'm in my cockroach era this week. I'm trying to bring that about. I've been eating out of the garbage, scurrying around whenever the lights turn on. You know, it's just I'm really trying to be in that place. That's where I'm at.
Man, so awesome to have you on. My first question for me, as I was thinking about having you on today, man, I saw your stuff and you're very funny, man.
I appreciate that.
I sit up,
I saw your stuff. You were a good player.
Well,
I thought you were going to say, I saw you play. You're pretty funny, too.
Yeah. Appreciate that. My question to you is, how do you come up with all the material? Now, granted, this year we've probably given you a lot of material to come up with, but how do you sit up and come up with the skits and everything, man? Because it's so hilarious to me. I always wonder how comedians just come up with the stuff, and just to make people laugh, and you do a great job of it. So what's your take on that?
I appreciate that. Well, so, I mean, it's just a lot of whenever I have any idea, I just have to have the discipline to write it down, really. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of the, off-season sketches and stuff that I do. It's just like, okay, wouldn't it be funny if I did, this type of theme, and then I kind of suss it out from there. As far as the game recaps go, I keep a running note every single game, just like stream of consciousness, everything I'm thinking like throughout the game. And then usually whoever friends I'm sitting with, like if I have one friend actually who pops off, says funny things all the time, I'll write down something he says, something I say to him. And then when the game's over, I mean, this year it's a lot of like, okay, I got to take a nap before I look at this. but then it's like, sure. I take that list and I'm like, okay, let me now work this into any kind of usable script. And there's a lot of junk in there, but there's some gems every now and then too. It's just writing stuff down, really.
So are you watching the whole game? Because I'm telling you now, it's hard for me to watch the whole game. I can't, if there's other games on, I flip it back and forth or
put the four screen
on.
Yeah,
I'll come back to it or something like that. Do you have to watch the whole game to come up with some of this stuff?
Yes, I'm a true masochist. And the great thing about this channel now is I tell my wife, I'm like, no, I have to watch the whole thing. Like, I have to have my script ready. And, so my Kansas State video this year was exceptionally short. I had a full script ready for that game that I spent time on. I'd just gotten really busy with, I teach high school, and I was coaching middle school football this year, so it's just, I had too much going on. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do a 14-second video. That should do it. we'll just throw out this script. But I do it every single week, every single week.
That's awesome.
Gotcha. My question is, what are your most oddball superstitions you have game day?
Oh, oddball superstitions. Well, one thing that I've been doing that I started last year is before every home game, I was drinking a Shiner Oktoberfest. And I drank it before every game except for the Big 12 championship. So I was like, so clearly this is what's up. It's my fault. Yeah,
that's
I'm sorry.
You.
You know, I have several friends. I have one friend who's like, ew, gross. Like, why are you drinking that? I was like, well, hey, I gotta get the mojo back somehow. I don't know. I don't have all that many superstitions at this point in my life. I do, though, I very carefully plan out my outfits typically. Like, usually I'm trying to either match what the team is wearing. I don't think I'm gonna wear head-to-toe purple this week, or I try to like play into some sort of like theme that makes sense in my brain. But I have to put way too much thought into what I wear. It's not like the same socks every time or anything like that, but it's just, you know, whatever makes sense in my lizard brain for that particular week.
Well, you're talking about coordinating all of your outfits, right? And I love, it's not just the TCU outfits that you coordinate, it's the opposing fans that come and visit you every game in your skits, right? What is your favorite new Big 12 team
to play?
To play, you're right.
My favorite new Big 12 team to play. I mean, I really think BYU's fun to play just because there's just so much silliness that you can get into, and the BYU fans love it. That's what I really enjoy the most.
Okay.
Yes, they do. Yeah. I get so many, oh my God, you got us so good. That's hilarious. Like, yes, we totally are going to go to a planet. Like, oh, you know.
And they have a top five mascot. Like, their mascot is legit. Like,
and
some
horrifying
of the stuff,
also. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
The
Thank
lack
you.
Of eyes, yes.
Yes.
But yeah, BYU is always fun to play because BYU fans love my videos. I know a lot of TCU fans love my Houston character. I get no interaction from Houston fans whatsoever.
It's Houston.
All three of them,
that's a common occurrence with Houston fans. don't feel bad about that.
Yeah, I mean, I have fun with that one. The grill kind of hurts my teeth, so I don't love being the Houston character, but there's been a lot of excuses to be the Houston character this year. Yes, I do enjoy West Virginia as well.
I don't like being in Houston, so if that speaks anything to that.
Facts, yes. Yeah, I went down there for that game this year. I'd never been to TDECU. Me and my friends that were all equipment managers with me, we try to go to a new stadium every year, a place we've never been. So we're like, well, I guess it's Houston this year. And we had fun, mostly bopping around downtown, but that wasn't the most thrilling game day atmosphere by any stretch.
There's high school stadiums that are better.
No, yeah. I mean, well, it was better than SMU. I'll give it that. But, not...
It's a very crazy. Low bar to clear.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, I have to ask this. So, you obviously put in a lot of time in the videos that you actually record. And I love the split screen where you've got both characters sitting on the couch at the same time. How many times do you have to record those to get the timing just right?
Well, I usually just out of habit do several takes of every line regardless. With those where I'm sitting on the couch as two different characters, I try to really think through my mind of, okay, what am I saying as this other character? About how long is that going to take? And I still do about three takes usually. But the biggest thing with that is just making sure that I don't move the camera. So I go directly from after I shoot as the TCU character for those two shots, I change clothes immediately into the next character and don't move the camera. I stupidly moved the camera for the Tech game video, which is why the American flag is a little wonky or the Texas flag is a little wonky on some of the shots.
Right.
Because I was like, oh no! I was like, I moved the camera. But I was like, you know what? I'm not shooting it again. I was like, nobody's... It's only Tech. Nobody's enjoying this video. We're just going to get through it.
Blame the possum. Just blame the possum. It was the possum.
Yeah, it was the possum. Yeah, it was absolutely the possum.
What years were you at TCU?
I was at TCU 2009 through 2013.
And what'd you study?
Broadcast journalism, actually.
So this is a little little bit in your background, because some of the, because I'm looking at your videos and they look wonderfully done. Like this
well,
is what
you
went to school for.
Thank you.
You know, I shoot a video from time to time and it's nothing like yours, and I think I'm doing a good job. So this is, you just picked it. When did you pick this up? When did this all happen? When did this come to?
Yeah, so I mean, I also have a background in comedy and acting. So I did sports journalism for 4 years out of TCU and had a good experience. I was doing play-by-play on the radio, but it was just not, there weren't any opportunities for me to move up, and I wasn't making enough money. I got married while I was at TCU, actually, to my high school sweetheart, so I was like, awesome. We need to be making money.
Congratulations, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we'll be married 12 years in December, actually.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And you're halfway there.
Halfway. Halfway there. Yeah, absolutely.
What happens at 24?
Yeah, that's a topic for another podcast.
I was gonna say.
But yeah, so I grew up doing a lot of acting, and there was a certain point where in my long and winding road that I moved to LA with my wife, and I was doing the whole comedy thing and acting, and I was doing Groundlings out there, and when I came back. It was getting into COVID when I came back to Fort Worth, and I was like, I want some kind of creative outlet. I want to do something. So I just made a video, you know, and it was just based on my just skills that I picked up in LA or in college doing broadcast journalism, like as far as editing are concerned. And it got a pretty decent response. That was my Big 12 Zoom meeting video. And I was like, oh, it was fun. And like some people liked it. So I'm going to do some more of those. And it's just kind of, you know, praise the Lord, it's taken off from there, and it's something that I can have fun doing and, you know, get a couple extra beers at TCU tailgates. I mean, who doesn't love that?
Now, you mentioned coaching, right? You mentioned you did some coaching.
Yeah, coached for the first time this fall, actually.
This year, so,
middle school.
So, what is your coaching background, meaning did you play any? You know, what's your coaching background? What influenced you to coach, if not? And what grade level are you coaching?
Okay, so I coached middle school this last fall at All Saints, where I'm a history teacher in the high school, yeah.
We used to coach at Trinity.
Oh, no, okay, nice. So I coached 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I was offensive line coach. And I played at All Saints back when I was in high school, so there you go. I did not play in college because I was too short, too slow. But I was an equipment manager at TCU, which, I mean, really inundated me. Being an equipment manager at TCU increased my football knowledge infinitely more than playing. Infinitely more. And, I mean, that's even being the running backs manager from 2009 to 2013. Okay, so it's not. But, yeah, just being around the game and just, like, understanding things that just weren't getting through my skull as a player. And, you know, I've just always adored football and loved the game. So now whenever one of my one of the guidance counselors at All Saints was like, hey, I really want you to come coach. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it a go. And it went really great. I mean, the eighth grade in particular had a really great season, and O-line got better every week. Proud as all get out of those kids, and it was really fun.
Now, why haven't we saw a skit?
A coaching skit?
With that, because you know, there's a lot at the private school level now. There's a lot of material there.
Trust me. Oh, yeah, I definitely could. I mean, honestly, man, I have so many ideas that I've written down, but just whenever the school year starts, my schedule is just so packed. I'm like, I have time for one video a week. And so during football season, that's TCU fans. And listen, I've gotten a lot of comments and tweets like, why don't you do more stuff with all the Big 12, and I'm going to unsubscribe and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, TCU is my roots. These are the people who, this is the program that I'm passionate about. These are the people who, like, got me to 1,000 subscribers, right? I'm going to keep doing this come hell or high water. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I want to go back to the equipment manager part, because I don't think a lot of people realize how integral equipment managers are at TCU football. I think they did a little bit of a segment on it in the Carter Boys last season.
I was so hyped about
and
that episode.
if we don't have equipment managers, we don't practice. Like they have scripts, they have everything. They got to know where to be, especially on the defensive side under Coach P.
Uh-huh.
They were stressed.
Like,
I have never seen someone be that stressed in that position ever in my life.
Yeah.
So can you speak a little bit more on like your experience as equipment manager in that time?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that I had a lot more fun as an offensive equipment manager than I would have otherwise. Yes, there was a lot of stress on that side of the ball because those guys got screamed at every bit as much as the players did.
Did you make fun of those guys?
So, yeah. So, but yeah, it was a blast. Like, that was my fraternity, right? I mean, my friends who were equipment managers with me, we text literally every day. We have a group chat. that those are my best friends from college, and I mean, that's how I became a lot of good friends with players. It was a phenomenal experience. A lot of work, yes. But it was so much fun for me being around the game, and you know, with a program that I grew up being so passionate about. It was also super cool being the age that I was, you know, growing up watching Shannon, watching LT, and I mean, the first game I remember caring about as a kid was the Sun Bowl when we beat USC. Yeah, yeah. So then for me to be in college, and we're going to the Fiesta Bowl, and we're winning the Rose Bowl, and we're getting invited to the Big 12, it was just so, it felt like the culmination of like what my whole life had been building toward, and it was just so cool to be a part of it. A lot of hard work, but I'd highly recommend anybody who's going into college, check out being an equipment manager. It was a blast.
Listen, I give it up to you guys out there because, as you well know, anybody can get it. Equipment manager, player, coach.
Yes.
Anybody can get it. And speaking of you, you know, I would ask you, you know, do you remember, because I remember Coach Francione, Coach Patterson. I had two ass chewers yeah. versus just Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, the reason I didn't want to become a coach, because I love the game, I love the coach, but I saw the ass chewings Coach Fran would give some of the coaches. And I felt like once I become an adult, you can't talk to me like that.
Yeah.
And so I see that, and they humbly have to tuck tail and just go about their business. So I'm sure. So do you remember any, while you're out there on the practice field, because everybody sees Saturday, they see one person going off. But in practice, it's more ass chewings, right? So do you remember any of that going on, or do you have a story from when you were there, somebody getting, be it player or coach?
Like top 10 yeah, ass chewings? Like, is that top, what we're asking yeah, right now?
Oh,
a lot well, of it happens in practice, more TV, you know?
I mean, but I don't want to name names. Like,
you don't
that's
have to. You give a number. You give a number.
They're probably not listening. Okay.
I mean, like, there's definitely...
Right, right.
And by the way, speaking to your point about the ass chewing, that's why I'm a middle school coach, right? It's much lower stakes, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, and much less time commitment. That's why I decided to do that.
I don't know. I've chewed out some 15-year-olds in my 7-on-7 league.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely remember several times where, you know, you look over at the defensive field and Coach P is having a verbal altercation with, you know, a linebacker, and then they, you know, they're kicked out of practice, you know, they're fired from the team, basically. And,
for the day.
You know, for the day, exactly. And then they come back the next day. There was a little bit of that. So, because Justin Fuente was our offensive coordinator for most of my career there. And, I mean, he would get after guys.
Yeah.
Get your head out of your ass. That's what he was always saying. Get the banana out of your ear. He said that a lot. you know, I love Justin Fuente. I took care of his dogs, actually, on one occasion. I wonder what he's up to now.
What kind of dogs did Fuente have?
Fuente had, so he had like a
Chihuahuas.
Little Jack Russell. He had a Jack Russell, and then he had like a big German Shepherd mix.
That checks out. Okay.
I don't know if he still has them. But the Jack Russell had a penchant for escaping. So that was actually, I had to deal with that one time. But yeah, I mean, I don't have, no crazy chewing out stories that come to mind. I mean, I broke a lot of things as a equipment manager. That's something that's still like a joke among my friend group. There was one time when I was attempting to juggle a soccer ball, which is something I'm not very good at, and I smashed a light inside the equipment room that like shattered and went everywhere. Another time.
You weren't responsible for cleats during the Fiesta Bowl, were you?
Okay, so that's a touchy subject, okay? There was nothing wrong with those cleats, okay? Everyone wore the same cleats.
I don't know, man. He's done pretty defensive.
They'd worked. Oh, yes, because, I hated Aaron Andrews for like a decade after that. I'm like, it took me a long time to let that go. Because that wasn't our fault, okay? They broke in those cleats. The thing about that field is that field was super wet, and it would come off in chunks. I mean, it was beautiful to look at, you know, and obviously you're like, oh my God, I'm in the Rose Bowl. This is amazing. And it's super green, but our players just cut in a way that Wisconsin did not, right? We were so agile and so built on speed, whereas Wisconsin was more plodding. That's why you saw our guys falling down. Was it frustrating to watch? Yeah, but it wasn't anything to do with the cleats. It was because of the turf. It's Rose Bowl's fault.
When you go into a game, you have two, some people even three pair of cleats with different size heels, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to go on the field, as you know.
The cleat depth changes.
Right, and you're supposed to try on both pair to see what's going on. So are you still going to lay that on the Pro Bowl, or did these guys...
Well, listen, they were literally the exact same cleats as they wore throughout the season. They were just in a different color scheme. I promise you.
Yeah, well, but
you get Matt Lewis on here.
But you didn't answer the question.
But see, Coach P is going to blame somebody.
Well, right.
Yeah, and that's where the issue comes down to.
Yeah. I was going to tell you about something else that I broke. I don't know if they still have them. I assume they do. We had these massive shoe bins.
Oh, yeah,
these,
they do.
Like,
the purple
super
ones?
Super heavy, steel shoe bins with these very unruly wheels. And one of them got away from me one day. And there was an SUV that was parked, like, right by the practice field for some reason. This shoe bin careened into this SUV and, like, annihilated the back of the SUV. And I was like, oh, this is it. Matt's done with me now. Like, I'm fired. There's no way. He's not going to put up with me anymore. And he literally comes out. He just kind of, like, shakes his head. And then he just, like, turned around and walked back in. He's like, I have nothing to do with that.
As I can attest for, they still have those purple cleat bins. And last I saw, they still had them because I used those too. Mm. And I remember someone took they didn't take my cleats. They took the soles out of my cleats. So I didn't have any soles in my cleats. Oh my God, I was so mad.
All metal.
I would have been fine. I would rather them take the whole cleat. Just take the cleats, but the soles, because now I can't, like, it's so painful.
Yeah.
All metal.
That's ice cold. Wow. Who does that? What sort of a person does that?
Oh, my goodness.
That's terrible. All right. Well, I want to circle back on something else you said. You're a history teacher.
Yes. Yeah.
What? How did you get into teaching history?
Well, history has always been something I've been super passionate about. I actually minored in history at TCU.
Okay.
And, I mean, my road to teaching is a complicated one, because after... sports journalism, after acting, there was a lot of just kind of trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to do to get us in a semi-stable financial place after leaving LA and in not such a good situation. So, I mean, I was in construction for a year. I did a lot of, like, waiting tables, bartending. I would work for a software company for a while where I was, like, training car salesmen. I worked in insurance for 3 months. Got fired from that job, and I was just like, what the heck do I do? I don't know.
Wait, what did you break at the insurance company?
So I didn't break anything. That was just literally, they were like, your sales aren't good, like, right. Get out of here. We're not interested. Yeah. So I was like, what the heck am I gonna do? I go back to bartending, and one of my friends who actually, former equipment manager, was with me, was like, hey, you know, before I got into the Navy, I was substitute teaching, you should do it. I'm like, okay. And I taught some Sunday school classes, so I knew, like, I enjoyed teaching. I go and substitute teach. I'm like, I've literally never had so much fun in my entire life. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I immediately get certified, and history is the natural thing for me. I'm like, that's what I want to teach, because I've had so many of my friends be like, one of my equipment manager friends from TCU is from Boston, and he was like, so what is the deal with the Alamo? I'm like, let me tell you. And I like tell him the whole story, you know, and he's like, wow, you really made that come to life. Like, I wish I had you as a history teacher. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So
does the Alamo have a basement?
The Alamo does not have a basement. No, it does not. Yeah, contrary to popular belief. So I took my content test for history. I passed it without even studying. I got a job at Benbrook High School for a semester, and then All Saints came calling, my alma mater, and I was like, yes, please, and I've literally never been so happy in my life. I do not have a bad day. I have so much fun.
I will say one of my favorite coaches, teachers, was my eighth grade middle school coach, who was also my U.S. history teacher. One of the funniest dudes ever. Started a rock and roll club in middle school. Like, we just, like, did everything in that class, and it was the greatest thing ever. So I will say that I'm sure you're changing. Like, some kid is, like, in that class being like, this is my favorite teacher ever. Like, and he'll remember that for a long time.
I hope so.
Coach Erickson was my... I would literally do anything for that man right now. And so I'm sure, just keep that up, because... You're changing somebody's life.
Thanks, Nathan. I mean, it is cool to at least feel like you're doing something that's making a difference. And it's just fun. I talk about, you know, European history or government, or I also teach an economics class. I mean, like, it's a blast. It's so much fun.
Do you have, like, a lot of props and stuff?
I don't use very many props. It's mostly just me being like all of my what do you call it? Whenever someone from administration comes to observe you, all my observations, they're like, "You're very animated," but I'm like, I don't know any other way to be. Like I'm telling them about the storming of the Bastille. I don't know how not to be animated, right? So yeah.
Are you shooting all that from the same room? I think obviously, right? So how much are your props? Do you spend a lot of money on props and stuff? I see a bunch of different things that you use and outfits and all that kind of stuff. So you
a lot of memorabilia.
Well, okay, the memorabilia is just stuff that I've accumulated over my lifetime.
You got some old stuff too. It's pretty cool.
Yes. So I have a lot of stuff that lives in my classroom as well. But all of the I've had to spend. Listen, my channel is on a $0 budget. Okay, so I have every now and then whenever I was okay, I'm gonna be the University of Washington. I need a yacht captain's hat. I'm gonna go to Party City and spend $12 on a yacht captain's hat. But a lot of it is just stuff that I've just had. Yeah. The beard for West Virginia is something that I've just had. And most of the clothes are things that I've either had or that Home Field Apparel hooked me up with. Shout out to Home Field Apparel. Or Fans Vintage has hooked me up with some great stuff. It's just gathered it here, there, and everywhere, kind of.
So basically all I'm hearing is an excuse to tell my significant other to hang on to all of my random stuff because it's going to come in handy one day.
It might. I'm definitely a hoarder. And there's been several things where all of a sudden when I started making videos, I'm like, yes, finally. There's a purpose for this Rasta hat, or whatever it is for this grill that I got in middle school,
So you teach middle schoolers. Obviously.
Well, I teach high schoolers. I coach middle schoolers.
Okay,
yes.
Right. Well, so either way, you're involved with the younger generation who obviously watch YouTube a lot. So how many of your students come up to you whenever you post a new video and be like, I really like that? Or can you tell me how to be a YouTube star?
So actually several of my middle school football players were checking in every week. They're like, oh, the video was so funny this week, coach. Only a handful of them are actually TCU fans. So a lot of them are just laughing at me, which I'm like, that's fine. Thanks for watching the video. The high school has been slower to discover it, actually. The middle school has been...
Enjoy that while you can.
Yeah, right. But when they do, I'm like, great, yeah, subscribe. Hey, absolutely. What the high schoolers get more excited about is whenever I'm like, oh, yeah, I was on a Netflix show. They're like, what? Where is it? Where's your scene? Show us.
So let's get a little serious. Let's talk about a little football.
Let's do it.
All right, so
I think there's a game this weekend. People are telling me that.
A small one.
We'll get there, but...
Hang on real quick, because it came from a fan. I do not currently have a significant other. I was talking about a future excuse that I can give for later.
That's good.
I don't know why you felt you had to clarify that, but...
Well, that was called in the audience, so... Nathan's the only single man by the way. The only single man up here with no kids and family to go home to, and I'm 50-50 on that right there. But anyway, the season.
Yes.
We go from last year's team, obviously beating Michigan. A week after that, going to play a hell of a Georgia team that they ran into. Listen, that is what it is. I have a bunch of things I can say about that.
Ran into a buzzsaw.
Buzzsaw.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, being that. A group back in 2097 who knew that this ship one day would get to that level. We knew that then, and we believed that. And so to see that for us, there was different classes along the way that did what they did, the Rose Bowl team, blah, blah, blah. But being that team that kind of got us over the hump, one of the things our class talks about is when we came in there, we hadn't went to a bowl, and Ryan could have attested that. And Sean, we were terrible,
right.
In our first year, we were 1-10.
Which the Independence Bowl famously went wonderfully.
That bowl.
Yeah.
It didn't change anything.
But being at least Max Naki had fun.
Right. Old Max. Shout out to Max, Hall of Famer. But things started happening since that Sun Bowl year. I think we've only missed two bowls, maybe three.
Right.
And so, hey. So we've been on this ride for a while now. And to do what we did last year, to now, what are your thoughts? I have my own, but you know, most teams, we've been fighting getting to a place to where we can stay elevated. And to go from, I know we went from a coaching change. Mm. Now, some people will say, and this is long-winded, but I want to set you up here. Some people will say that was inherited Coach Patterson team by Sonny Dykes. He used that talent and got to the next level. I will say Coach Patterson had a lot of talent but never could get past the hump.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody else came in and got past the hump. And so with that being said, to be now struggling, so now all of a sudden you hear, well, he had Coach Patterson's talent. They're now gone, blah, blah, blah. But we've had a good recruiting year prior to that. Something's going on. What are your thoughts on it? What are your thoughts looking back on this season, where we are now, and then we'll talk about the next three or four games.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this season's been extremely disheartening, you know, and there's been a piece of it of, you know, if one or two things bounce differently, I mean, I think, I can't remember who posted it on Twitter, but somebody said, if one score games had the opposite result this year, where what would these teams' records be? We would be 7-2 if one score games went the other way. You know, if we throw one less interception in the red zone against Colorado, yeah, we win that game.
Yeah.
You know, if we can register a pulse in the second half, we beat West Virginia. You know, the list goes on. But yeah, I mean, you go from like, you know, that national championship game, leading up to that game, like right up until kickoff, that was the highest high I've ever experienced as a fan. Yes. I cried at the end of the Fiesta Bowl. We were all so excited just, yes, to be there, right?
Yes.
And I think Georgia would have beaten anybody by 30 points.
Alabama,
they were going to do that to anybody.
Yeah.
After
and
that
I,
game.
In
anybody.
Fact, I've talked to when I visited practice. Yeah, when I visited practice in the summer, you know, there was a whole lot of, yeah, we were really hoping that we would have faced Ohio State. We felt like we would have had a better shot. That is what it is. You know, Georgia was the best team in the country. That is what it is. And I think all of us expected a step back. I mean, if you weren't expecting some form of a step back this year after you lose so many players to the NFL, I mean, you really just got the purple color glasses on. It's just the extent to which the step back has been that's been so disheartening. And, you know, when you hear the things like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's just, you know, we're just not performing up to our skill level. We're not being physical. You know, it all starts in the trenches with what's, yeah, happened this year. The offensive line has not played up to expectations. The defensive line is not clogging holes the way they need to. We're not tackling the way we need to. We're not doing the little things, the attention to detail that we need to have. Now, I'm not ready to say, like, hey, you know, clean house, fire everybody, like, you know, blow the whole thing up. Because I do think it's really disingenuous to say the only reason that we made it to the national championship is because we were playing with GP's guys.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, this is fact from people I've talked to in the program. The atmosphere in the program and the waning years of GP, who I love, he's a legend. We all love him. We needed a change. It was time for a change. The message wasn't working anymore. Things had become a little toxic.
Well, we had lost his top talented people.
Yeah.
Zach Evans had left. D had left. Who left? Who went to Nebraska? The linebacker.
Oh, O'Shawn Mathis.
O'Shawn. Yeah. We lost O'Shawn. We lost a lot of his top people. So we had his guys, whatever, but it wasn't his top guys that he had got kind of towards the end of his career here at TCU.
Yeah.
And so he turned what he had around and was able to do with what he did. So I agree with you. We shouldn't take that away from Coach Dykes because he had so much, but he brought in some stuff too.
Yeah, Coach Dykes' relax, do your job message is exactly what a senior heavy team with a leader like Max Duggan needs, right? You can trust those guys to go out there and do that. We're just in, you know, the crappy part of the development cycle right now. You know, it's unfortunate because, I mean, I think Chandler's been in an unfortunate position this year. I think he's been pressing a lot. He's been trying to do too much, and then he gets hurt. And I think I've loved what I've seen from Josh Hoover.
Yes.
But the man needs time to throw, you know, and also you need to have a threat of a running game in order for the passing game to work. Well,
and a lot of that is, as you know, as you see, is coaching. Because you got to put them in the best situations.
Of course.
We go away from the run. You don't get a quarterback in there who's you throw in the fire and you go passing more than you run. You release the pressure from him to run the ball. We're gaining 3 to 5 yards a pop.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving the ball. So you set him up for success, putting him in a third down and short situation where it's a, you don't have to drop him back. It's a three-step job versus a five. Get rid of a short out, a quick curl, something like that. Move the chains. So to me, a lot of that is they have to figure out the coaching piece to it and with their athletes based off how they're using them in the situation we're in. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, what is your thoughts on the defensive side of the ball with a 3-3 defense? 3-3-5.
How did I need know to know? This is gonna
Everybody
come
was
up.
Waiting for
I,
this.
I was going to ask for Shannon what you yeah. thought of the 3-3-5.
Hey, so I was talking to somebody about this literally right before we started recording. The 3-3-5 is hard because it's so antithetical to everything we've been used to as TCU fans for the past 20 years, right? It's not about getting pressure on the quarterback. It's about plugging up holes, yeah. forcing the ball outside, spill and kill, right? And, you know, in theory, that's fine. The 3-3-5 works fine. It's worked fine for West Virginia in the past. It works good for Iowa State. We don't have the dudes on defensive line to do that right now.
My man.
Dominic Williams is a great young player, but we don't have enough Dominic Williamses to go around. I think that we got some young defensive ends who could be great, but it's just not there. And then when you have lack of attention to detail on the second and third level, and you have guys like Johnny Hodges injured,
yep.
it's not going to go well. And factor in the fact that the offense is not staying on the field very long. We're turning the ball over. The longer your defense is on the field, they're going to get tired. They're not going to be able to sustain the same level of play.
And that was
so it's just a domino effect.
And that's going back to Coach P. Like, his whole mindset was free up your linebackers, let them do what they need to do. And that's why Paul Dawson was so successful. He was just such an instinctual player. But we had the players to free him up. Yeah. We had bigger guys in the middle, not the biggest, because like OU and Texas kind of had that already going for him. But we were able to free up the linebackers, and that's what we've been trying to do. We just last year were able to do. We had Dale Horton, all those guys in the middle.
Yeah, Dylan Horton, we are missing massively this year.
Yeah, and our linebackers haven't been able to get as free as we want them to.
And that's a great point. If you guys look at even our draft picks over the years, 10, 15 years. If we don't have both linebackers, then we have at least one. You know why that is? It's because we've always covered up linebackers to let them flow. And if we don't get pressure right off the jump, you have a linebacker free, you can blitz him, he can cover in the secondary, whatever the case may be. But our linebackers are supposed to lead, and they're supposed to lead in tackles. I guarantee you right now, our linebackers are not leading in tackles. Our secondary is.
Yeah, it's got to be safeties.
I haven't even saw the stats. I can guarantee you that based off what I've seen. So for me, you hit it. The bigger schools have depth. They can rotate in every series to have somebody fresh. When you don't have the depth in the 3-3-5, they play good in spurts. That's why you see us make plays in spurts. Mm-hmm. You'll see some big plays every once in a while. But for the most part of the game, especially in the third and fourth quarter, we're getting killed because the second string, the first string, and the second string, they're tired. You got to have depth at that position.
Yeah.
We don't have it yet. We're not there yet, which I thought we were, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And so for that, it leaves too many holes because the quarterbacks, if you're looking back at it, they have more time than the Lord allows. They can pick all the holes, and they can get it outside. It's just you see it. Stevie Wonder sees it. You know what I mean? So it's just like it just kills me every week to watch this, man.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And it's unfortunate because I know I was thinking going into the season, oh, man, defense is going to be the strength of this team. They're going to know the 3-3-5. Yeah. And, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I was hearing all the reports of, this team has more talent than last year.
You were drinking the frog water.
Yes. Every August the frog water. Every August I'm like, okay, listen, there is a way we can go undefeated, okay? I'm not convincing myself. It's unfortunate. But, we're, what is it? 7 games into the season now, and it's clear we are who we are. Now, does that mean I think that we are 1,000% screwed this weekend? No. Because this weekend is a special case.
Yes.
I'm getting major 2021 Baylor vibes from this game.
Yes.
All right.
Ooh, speak on it.
Shameless plug, you said frog, drinking the frog water. We have Horn Seltzer, right?
Yeah.
It's frog water, but it's been renamed the Killer Frogs Horn Seltzer to benefit the non-scholarship TCU athletes. through NIL Village.
Yes.
I had to put that out there so that we can promote. Drink it up.
Man, y'all listening on your drive have no idea the skill that went into that ad read right there. That was that was something to watch.
We won't summarize it, but basically, drink your frog water, baby.
Skit coming soon.
It's pretty... It's from RAR. It is, and I've had it. It is very good. It's very
one.
Subtle, and it's purple, right?
Speaking of,
there's elderflower in it.
Yes. It's good. I like it.
That's where the purple comes from.
I'm a big seltzer person, so more than 7% alcohol.
Let's just say 7.5.
How about round up, right? Why not round up?
All right, back to football.
No, I was just going to say, thank you, Nathan. I appreciate that ad read.
So
Texas,
yes,
Saturday,
yes,
6:30 yes. on ABC. How yes. happy are we about that?
Why'd they do that to us? Why'd they put us on prime time?
I mean, I've got my theories, you know. I think ABC just wants to have Texas front and center, but I'm with you. 2021 Baylor vibes. I'm there. I wouldn't necessarily have put 2021 Baylor on there, but I'm feeling it too. How do you think this game's going to shake out?
I'm just thinking it's a game just like 2021 Baylor, where they seem on a collision course with potentially, in their mind, the playoffs, right? We, on paper, do not match up with this team well at all. Texas has an outstanding interior defensive line. Our interior offensive line, less than outstanding, okay? They have a really great young offensive line. Our defensive line hasn't been plugging holes. But if there's a game when you can play with a chip on your shoulder, right, when you can go out there and be physical, and if we can take advantage of the opportunities we get in the red zone, this game could go our way. I mean, listen, it's not going to be the first time we've been cockroaches for Texas.
Right.
And, you know, it probably will be the last, because, you know, they ain't going to ever play us again after the last 12 years. But, I mean, geez, this is the one, even in the offseason when we were, you know, making season predictions and everything, I was like, this is the one, we got to have this one. I mean, I don't care if we lose every other game, we got to win this one, because you know it's going to be the last time we play them. Got to send them to the SEC with a loss, and especially now with them trying to play for a conference championship.
Well, I'm with you on that. I've been thinking about it all week, cause, you know, especially for the show. This is the, listen, we have nothing to lose at this point.
Right. They have everything to lose.
They have everything to lose. I believe they feel that way, but I believe they're looking over us right now. I don't believe they're going to give us their full attention. And you may see a sluggish game from them in the first half, and maybe they'll come out and do what they're supposed to do. But I think we need to take care of business with nothing to lose. It's Texas. We get up for Texas. We've kicked their butts. What's the record over Texas in the last, 10 years?
8-3.
8-3. And so, will they think about that? Maybe.
My senior year was number one, baby.
You know
on
I mean?
Thanksgiving.
So I think if we just come out and play the game that we are capable of playing from an offensive standpoint, a defensive standpoint, special team standpoint, and get after them from jump and put them in a hole where they have to fight back, we'll have a chance. Nobody's picking us to win this game but us. You know, that's just being a frog. Do I think if we play the way we've been playing, if we play anywhere close to what we played the last couple of weeks, we'll get our ass kicked? Sure.
Yeah.
We're going to get blown out in our home. We're going to get, you know, it'll be a quick game. I just hope that we can show some fight back, that Sonny can get these guys up to play this. It's important. It's important for him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the game doesn't go our way, I think it's so important that these guys come and play for four straight quarters to where we as a fan say, we should have won that game, and we played them. We're a better team than them. We just lost by whatever reason. I would be okay with that. But if we just crap the bed and don't come out with energy and don't come out like the team that I know we have, that's going to be disheartening. But I feel like you. I feel like we'll come out. I think we can steal this game. We may lose the rest, but I think we can win this game right here at home.
I mean, how can you not come out with energy against Texas in any year, much less the last year that they're in the Big 12? And this is a must-win game. I mean, if we're going to make a bowl game, we have to steal either this one or Oklahoma, assuming that you beat Baylor, which Baylor is flaming trash, right? They're just terrible, terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's you love to see it. But, you know, and I think that you're going to have a both Texas and Oklahoma have shown flaws. I mean, Texas was begging to lose to Houston,
yes.
Right? Who Houston's been on the upswing here, but that's not a great team. They should have lost that game, and they should have lost to Kansas State if Kansas State doesn't choke. I mean, Quinn Ewers isn't that big of a difference. You know, hopefully that classic lack of discipline from Texas rears its ugly head. You know we're going to come out ready to play. Hopefully all the Frog fans come out and show out. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic for Cockroach Magic.
And, well, you should have lost UCF, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If UCF had any sort of offense in that stretch where their defense was playing unreal, they would have won that game.
Or if they call any kind of sensible two-point conversion play.
Well, we'll give them that. Yeah. There, so that day, I remember I was at Boomer Jacks watching just football in general, and UCF had one. I want to say Penn State had one. There were like three or four games that came down to a two-point play, and they just called the worst possible play. I don't know what was going on with offenses that day, but it just didn't work for anybody. But, yeah, so there should both OU and Texas should have a couple more losses in that column.
Yeah.
For how they've been playing ever since they played each other. They were playing really well up until that point, but, yeah, they should definitely both have a couple losses in there.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. I mean, I was talking with one of my fellow coaches who's actually a former coach of mine. He played for Ohio State. We were talking about this. I don't think there is a single elite team in the country this year. Everybody's beatable.
That's
more so than any other year since, like, 2007.
And that's the difference between this year and last year is Georgia was just headed – like way above everybody last year. They were going to do that to anybody in the national championship game, whatever you want to call it. This year has just been like all the top teams, all the top like six teams have struggled against at least one mediocre team. At least one.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of reason to hope in this game.
Question, where do you watch the game in the stadium? Do you have season tickets at a certain spot? Where are you at in the stadium?
So
are you behind the bench?
These days I kind of just I tend to get my tickets from other people. And then I also tend to kind of move around a little bit. I've mostly sat this year on the west side, second deck, like right around the kind of like the 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. But I've moved around. I mean, I've sat in the north end zone a good bit in the recent past. I think my tickets are technically in the south end zone for this game, but I don't think I'm going to stay there. But, yeah, you know, it's just kind of wherever I end up getting my tickets.
The reason I say that because from a football point of view, you either watch it from the north or south because that's how you watch film, as you well know.
Right.
So you can cover everything and see everything. And so that's why that was a football question. But what do you tailgate, man? What's your ritual on Saturdays at the stadium, man?
So I always I have a friend who tailgates in lot 4. Okay. So I always spend a good amount of time there because that's where, you know, my college friends tend to congregate. But I also like to walk around. I mean, usually I'm walking from lot 4 to the game. So I walk through lot 2 or, you know, right there by the parking garage and get in. But I have been known to occasionally venture into the grass. It's just very chaotic over there and hard to get over there for me. So, my ritual, I tend to stay in lot 4, lot 2.
Well, I have to give a shout-out to any players that play for Coach Patterson. He texted me today. He's having a watch party at his house or a tailgate party at his house. So if you play for Coach Patterson and you want to hang out with your teammates, RSVP at Coach Patterson's house. So I don't know if I'll be there, but anyway, I just got that text.
I wonder what kind of spread Coach P puts out for a watch party.
I don't know, but
yeah, well,
that's
yeah.
A, wait, that's, which one that's, is he going to be wearing? That's probably the only reason I'll show up and see. That's a good one.
Yeah, which former players are we talking about here,
Shannon?
That's
a good question.
I had a hilarious recent interaction with Coach P, by the way. Near the end of last season, he DM'd me on Twitter asking me if Max was going to win the Heisman. And I was like, I hope so. Like, I don't know. Like, I was like, why are you asking me? Like, I feel like you definitely have better, like, connections than me, former equipment manager, to, like, tell you this inside information. But I was like, I hope. Awesome. I don't know. Like, but, yeah, me and all my former manager buddies had a good laugh about that one. Like, why is he DMing?
You got to milk that cow. Be like, I'll let you know if you invite me over to the next tailgate. Like, yeah.
I did. I was like, hey, if you have extra Fiesta Bowl tickets, like, give me a holler. He's like, yeah, I will. He didn't.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, really appreciate you joining us this week. This is kind of at the end of the podcast, so we normally do predictions. So we'll come to you last. So we'll kind of start here with Nathan. We'll kind of come down. So think about what you think the final score of the game on Saturday is going to be. So Nathan, what do you think prediction is going to be for Texas TCU?
So I'm in a weird spot with this game. Obviously, everything kind of lines.
Every other game.
Well, even more weird. I don't know. Everything kind of lines up to where, like they were talking about earlier, we can absolutely upset Texas in this game and do what we've done the last 11 years minus 3 years. And I should feel good about that, but I don't know. Like I feel like this team has, like, this should be one of those games where you show up, you have energy, you play for your pride, you play for the, you know, the seniors, you come out and you're fired up and you want to just like hit Texas right in the mouth. Cause I want to put some pads on and do that right now. I just don't know if this team is going to do it because they haven't shown that to me this year. Like, we have, like, yeah, we have a big win over, you know, Nicholls State, BYU.
Over Nicholls State.
Hey, we take
big win over Nicholls State, baby. Hang the banner.
Wins and loss columns, all right?
Tear down the goalposts.
They're one of the four wins. I'm going to take it. But, like, you know, we've come out and we've played well against teams that we should probably play well against, but we've also come out and played against teams that we should absolutely have, you know, dominated, and we just haven't. And I don't know if this team lacks that kind of pride or just will to win, but that's what makes me nervous about this weekend. Is I'm really hoping I'm wrong. I just don't know if they're going to do it. I want them to because it's Texas and I want to hit Texas
give
in the mouth.
Give the score.
I know.
Give the score.
I had TCU winning in my score. It's close. It's 35-33 TCU. It's going to come down to a field goal.
That was a lot of doom and gloom to lead up to us winning the game.
I didn't get to share my piece earlier. I had to say it.
Wait, 35-33 coming down to a Griffin Kell field goal.
Or a missed
Texas field goal. Okay, all right, one of the two. I don't know how to feel about that. Shannon, how about you?
All right, so last year, as you guys, we said on our podcast, and we all said it, we don't know what's going on, but it's something special. They were winning every week, and we obviously it was Max and all this, but we couldn't really put our hands on what they were playing for, but they were playing for something, and it worked. It got us all the way to the natty.
Yep.
This year, not the case, right? So, my analyst's killer frogs hat, we lose 27-20. My TCU hat, if they come out and play like I think they will, because again, I think they can win this game, and I think they can win the Baylor game, and I think they'll lose in Oklahoma. But I think they can win this game. 30-31 is somewhere. I think it'd be a high-scoring game. I think we pull it away with a field goal type. I think it's one of those games. It's going to be exciting from start to finish in my head, but we pull it out. But if we don't come to play, we lose this ball game. If we don't come to play, I'll say that right now. If we don't come to play, we will lose this ball game. We'll get drugged.
Yeah, by a lot if we don't. All right, Clint, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've said it. If we've said it once, we've said it several times. We do not match up well against this team. But college football games are not played on paper, right? And there's a reason that we're 8-3 against Texas in the last 12 games. Frogs are going to come out ready to play. I mean, my head tells me we don't match up well. We're not going to win this game. Y'all didn't bring me on here for my head. Let's be honest, all right? We want to know what the heart has to say, okay? For my hair, okay.
Yeah, well.
Very nice.
I feel,
you know,
like
podcasting,
that was a personal
famously
attack
a visual
at me.
Medium, right? Okay. So, I mean, yes, I'm getting 2019 Texas vibes, 2021 Baylor vibes, okay? Guys come out ready to play. It's a night game. We're hyped up. We hit them in the mouth. I'm thinking 31-30 Frogs. We get eternal scoreboard on the Longhorns. It's, you know, a nail-biter till the very end, but we're feeling great going into that Baylor game, and homie, we're playing for the Cheez-It Bowl or whatever the heck, first responder. Doesn't matter. We're playing in a bowl game, okay? It's going to happen.
We're moving on.
Yes.
It's good for recruiting. We have to move on.
Survive in advance.
Yeah, I'm feeling it too. I think it's interesting. We don't match up very well against Texas at all. And I'm not going to go as long as Shannon in my or Nathan, excuse me, in my analysis here, because I just don't have the voice tonight. But I will say this: there is one aspect of this team that I've really kind of, it's really grown on me, and that is Hoover. I think Hoover is the type of quarterback that we need in this particular game, because I think the one area that this team matches up well against Texas is the Texas secondary. I think we're going to see a couple of wide receivers have a breakout game in this one, and I think it's going to have to happen that way, because Texas is going to come after the run game, and it's going to have to be it's going to be BYU part two. It's going to have to be Hoover.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it, right? And because of that, I'm going to say 42-27 TCU.
Holy mackerel. Let's go, man.
Love it,
yes.
Baby.
All right.
Love it. How much purple stuff you had. I love it.
I may not have drank all the frog water tonight, frog folks, water. But I drank quite a bit of it. But, you know.
Can you even imagine the meltdown if that does happen? Like,
it would be amazing. Yeah. Because, and you know what? No matter what. Sorry, what did you say?
No, but to your point, you know, Oklahoma just lost. And so Texas is supposed to win it all. Like, they have this mentality. We can crush all that. The Big 12 is still wide open.
Pressure's on them, too.
It's on them, so it can happen.
And as you were starting off, you're in cockroach mode. We have played the cockroach in so many different games over the years. I mean, going back, Shannon, man, 97, man, that we were 1 and 10. But I tell you what, that 1 absolutely crushed SMU for a decade.
That was the one that mattered.
It was the one that mattered.
I don't think there's been goalposts tore down since that game.
I haven't been peppered spray since that game,
pepper,
for sure.
Yeah,
you know?
How do you win and get peppered sprayed by your own cops?
Hey, if we win this game, we're putting those goalposts in the Trinity River if we win this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Amen.
For sure.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, either way, no matter what happens on Saturday, TCU goes out on top in the Big 12 era against Texas. And, of course, we're hoping that TCU comes out on top on Saturday. But, you know, it's going to be a very interesting kind of see how these last couple of games kind of play out towards the end of the season. And either way, it's just been a magical ride, like you said, going back from last season into this season. And I think it's going to be a lot of – I think we're fine. I don't think it's time to panic right now. I think everything's good. But to Nathan's point, which team's going to show up? I hope it's the one that has all the heart and has every reason to actually play for this game. Clint, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, brother.
Tell the folks where they can find you.
Yeah, and thanks for having me. So you can follow me on Twitter at Clint_Foster55. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel if you haven't already. That's at Clint Foster Comedy. I mean, if you search TCU fans, you're probably going to find it. I also have a live show on Tuesday nights now talking about the Big 12. It's at Big 12 VOCFB. That's Big 12 Voice of College Football. The name of the show is The Biggest 12. This past Tuesday, I had Trayvon Boykin on the show, where we're talking about
awesome.
The state of the Frogs and the state of the Big 12. And Trey also thinks we can win this game. So, you know,
oh, yeah.
For awesome. What that's worth.
Did he give you a prediction?
He didn't give me a score prediction, right. But he did said he said he thought we could win this game.
Well, yeah, last time he was out there, he hung 50 on them. So.
Right, yeah. He knows a thing or two about beating Texas.
Absolutely. Well, Clint, thank you very much for joining us. Of course, check out Clint's videos on YouTube if you haven't already. And with that, folks, we have come to the end of the podcast. Want to give a big shout-out to RAR and Sons Brewery over here. Thank you for hosting us.
Appreciate you guys.
This week, this has been fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks again for the frog water. It has been great. Certainly helps me. Horn Seltzer, thank you for the correction. I appreciate that. Well, we'll let Nathan run the ads from here on out, folks. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. We want to thank everybody who's joining us out there. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, sign up for a free account, and let us know what your prediction is for Saturday's game. And it's the time when we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!